today is communion, so I pause from our preaching of Ephesians, the book that we usually do, but we still have a very closely related theme. And that is, we've been talking about redemption. And when we look at communion this morning, we're really talking about what Jesus Christ did to redeem us. The problem with most churches today is that preachers do not preach the Word of God. I believe that the American church especially is exceedingly weak because it is starved from preaching the Word of God from the pulpit, and all you hear are preachers preaching about money. All you hear are preachers preaching anything but the purity of what God's Word says. That means you have a spiritually starved church in America, because they have no idea what the Word of God says, and they only know what the preacher says. Most of the preachers are crazy, and the other half are evil, in my opinion. And that's why we need to look at God's Word as we celebrate communion. And we've been talking about redemption. So that's what we'd like to take a look at. But Paul often, in teaching God's Word, not only talks about redemption, but there is a bookend. On one end is redemption. Do you know what the other bookend of redemption is? Who can guess? Take a guess.
Salvation.
No, but good, Kelly. Redemption.
Salvation.
No, I'll give you another hint. Begins with an A. Redemption, and the other bookend is? That's Roman Catholic. I can't absolve anybody. But let's think. Let me make them think I can, because then that way we get more filthy lucre, I guess. I don't know. Ready? Adoption. Have you noticed in this passage, and this is what we're celebrating in communion. Paul has said in Ephesians chapter 1 that we've been predestined for adoption. But do you notice what he next goes into? One bookend is adoption. Then look what he says in Ephesians. Predestined us to adoption. And then in verse 7, he immediately puts the other bookend of redemption in verse 7. Now, these two terms are closely related. And somebody came up to me last week and said, "Pastor Dave, I had no idea what you were talking about in the two different words for redemption, and that's my fault." And I want to explain this, because this is what we celebrate in communion. I told you that there were two words for redemption. One used in Ephesians and another one used in Galatians. And we want to talk about this. Make sure I've communicated well. To redeem someone in English means to pay some price to get them out of whatever they're in, to redeem. If you redeem your stamps, what do? You exchange the S&H green stamps. Remember those? That shows you how old the old guy is now. My wife's laughing the loudest on that one. You'd redeem those stamps, and you would then... What you were doing is, you want an item, you'd have to collect all of the stamps and then exchange the stamps, redeem them for that item. That item was always sitting on the shelves or in that S&H green stamp book. You remember that? And they dial. I remember that because I worked as a box boy for Safeway. Worst job I ever had in my life. Could I tell you stories? Used to hide. I'll tell you how old I am now. I used to hide in the back behind where they stored all the stuff, behind the swinging doors, doing the glass bottles. Have you remember when soda used to be in glass bottles? Huh? I mean big glass bottles. And you'd be charged for the bottle, and then if you bring them back, people would collect their money. Well, now they charge you 30 cents for the aluminum cans and they give you nothing back. They just charge you. It used to be, here's the bottle, they'll give you money. Now it's, here's the money, you get nothing back. It's interesting how the elites do that to us, isn't it? Anyway, there's two bookends. Redemption. The other bookend is adoption. Now let me tell you, let me remind you. In Ephesians, this word for redemption talks about the price. To redeem somebody in Rome, remember, 60% of all Romans were slaves. The slaves were smarter than the owners. They would march them into a marketplace, put them on a raised platform, families would be bidded, and a child would go with one owner and the mother with another, and the father. That's how they, that was, it's just the inhumanity of man. And this word redemption here talks about the cost to free in redemption. What was the cost? Jesus Christ paid his life the cost. And you'll always see redemption associated first with the word, the cost of redemption is what he's talking about here. It cost the Father the life of his Son. It's no wonder that at the time Jesus died, it said a great darkness occurred over the land, as it must have been that the Father was angered at the price that he paid to redeem the price of the blood of his Son. The other word for redemption is found in Galatians. So that's where we're going to go. Galatians, Ephesians. So go back one book and we're going to look first at Galatians chapter 3. And there's another word for redemption. Galatians chapter 3. Verses 13 through 14. Do you note or do you notice that there's the word redemption there in verse 13? That's another word that the Bible uses for redemption. They're close. The one in Ephesians talks about the cost. Remember the green stamps. I always wanted the green stamp item that would take me 40 years to save enough stamps, and just when you do, they cancel the program. What was the cost of redemption? The death of his Son. The putting of sin on Jesus. That's what it cost the Father to do. You see, this is what When you really look at what the Bible says, everybody that doesn't know Jesus Christ gets all mad. You Christians, and you're always preaching about sin. And you always preaching about how bad we all are. Well, that's true. Make me feel good, preacher. Tell me how wonderful I am. I've hurt my knee. Sorry. After 33 years of running on concrete, that knee is not doing well right now. But I'm not going near surgeons. I'll tell you that. I'll use one of those. Look at him saw. What was I talking about before I rudely interrupted myself? Huh? This word here looks at redemption in another way. In Ephesians, it's how much it cost God the death, the life of his son, where he puts sins. This word looks at redemption in a different way. Here, this word has the idea that you, imagine this, this is what the Bible says. Here is how it pictures us, in all honesty. When Christ paid that great price, his life, you know who he was redeeming? Slaves. Dirty. Vile. By the time they moved those slaves to the Roman place where they would display them, those slaves were dirty. Hadn't had a bath. The word in Galatians looks at the fact, this fact of redemption, the cutting of the chains. This word has the idea that here you stand, chained to Satan and sin, dirty and vile. And the word redemption means here that as a slave, God walked up to you. In Ephesians, he paid the price. What did it cost God to cut your chains? His son. And this looks at the fact that God has cut the chains, and the chains fall off, and you are no longer a slave. Now, I always wanted the best gifts in the S&H Green Stamp book. But it took the most stamps. But once you redeem the stamps, if you could, you got, here is what the Father, dirty, stinking, enslaved, chained. And the Father pays the price, and he comes up and he cuts the chains and they fall off, is what this word means. It's the condition of his he removes. After paying the price in Ephesians, the other side of redemption is the chains have fallen off. But remember what the bookends are. Imagine it would be great if you freed slaves. There were people, and then they had the Underground Railroad in America that they would get them up to a place where they would be free. But imagine unchaining slaves and say this now. Good luck with that, and you leave. God didn't do that. Not only did he pay the price in Ephesians for redemption, not only did he cut the chains, but let's look now at what God did, because the other bookend, never will God redeem without doing something else. Look what it says in 3:13. Christ redeemed, cut the chains after he paid the price from the curse of the law. By the way, if you're standing there a slave, God cut the chains because I'll tell you one thing, as a slave you had no rights, and under the Mosaic law you were as guilty and had no rights as it could be because you couldn't keep it. He cut the chains. He redeemed us from the curse of the law, which only condemned us. He became the curse. What is the price that Jesus paid? He became the, you ready? The curse. Now that's the wonderful news of salvation. That's why people today are offended by the Christian message, because number one, it is offense. Number two, preachers aren't preaching what the Word of God says. I got some terrible news for you. You are a slave to sin. You are vile and foul. And guess what? Jesus paid the price. He cut the chains. You were free from anything that condemns you now. But God doesn't just leave you. Can you imagine redeeming slaves and just leaving them there? Okay, good luck, go find a job. You didn't do that in the Roman Empire. You left the chain with no means, no support. They would end up becoming a slave again or dying of starvation. Look what Jesus Christ did, it says. He redeemed us. Why? Verse 14. In order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. By the way, do you know who the chosen people are? They're not in Israel. I got a surprise for you. They're right here. Apart from Jesus Christ, how much redemption do you have? Do not let theologians and preachers confuse you. Redemption is in Christ. And if you don't have Christ, you are not redeemed. The chosen people are here. Who has the blessings of Abraham? The Bible says, in order that the blessings of Abraham might come to whom? That's us. You've got all the blessings of Abraham. You've been given it because you, if you've trusted in Jesus Christ, guess what? You're the chosen. You're the redeemed. And I don't care how much a theologian in a study Bible tells you, the chosen people, no one is chosen apart from Jesus Christ. I will be faithful to God's word no matter what the cost theologically. You get the blessings of Abraham only if you are in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's it. And if you're in Him, guess what? The chosen people are here. And apart from Jesus Christ, you do not have the blessings of Abraham.
So that the Gentiles might receive the promise of the Spirit, the new covenant. That's another word for the new covenant. Because in the new covenant, it promised God's Spirit on the people of Jesus Christ who are chosen.
But Paul doesn't stop there, because I told you about the bookend. Now go to chapter 4. I said to you there will always be a bookend with Paul when he mentions redemption. Not always. Let's say that there is predominantly this other bookend. For God doesn't leave the slave free, but having no hope in his freedom. Look what it says in Galatians chapter 4. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law. Why? Verse 5 of chapter 4. In order that He might, what? He cut the chains is the word there. But look, when He cuts your chains,
in order that He might redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive what?
Can you imagine that? Here is God who paid the price, redeemed slaves, and then he walks up to the slave that's been redeemed and he paid the price and says, I want you for my son and daughter. That's amazing because slaves had no rights in Rome. Not only did God cut your chains, pay the price through Jesus, Jesus paid the price, he cut the chains in redemption. Not only that, but he walks up to the dirty, stinking slaves. And he at that moment publicly declares, this is my child with full rights as my son and daughter. You'll never see redemption not being tied in to adoption. For he didn't just leave the slaves free. He comes to you as a freed slave, and he makes you his full child. When you trust in the Son who paid the price, who broke the chain, who took you from the marketplace of sin, and he calls you his child. That's what's involved in this. And when you truly look at this, and if this was truly preached in churches, you would stand in awe of what God has done, that he would not only redeem satanically enslaved people, but then he would adopt with full rights and privileges all of them in Christ, in the new covenant, as his chosen children. That's the marvel of salvation. That's what we're celebrating this morning. He that did not spare his own son, shall he not give us as his children freely all things? Now you understand what they're talking about.